I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you today, Aaliyah?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. Anything exciting going on in your life right now?
Nope.
Nope.
Just working, avoiding the heat when I can.
Oh, we've hit heat already, huh? In March?
Yeah. It's annoying.
It's Florida. Guess what? Yep. It was 70 degrees here in California yesterday.
Wow.
I know. Hate to tell you, but actually kind of enjoyed telling you. It was fun. So awesome. Well, in our life, Deanna is off. She is out of town visiting her mother, who she has stage 4 breast cancer. So she's sort of been going at this for almost a couple years now, and I think she's at the point where we can say she's declining. So Deanna is trying to get as much time with her as she can, and she recently was admitted from the hospital, discharged from the hospital. So Deanna really wanted to see her. So I'm flying solo this weekend, not solo, so no spouse, but have Camilla. But we're gonna enjoy recording a podcast anyway. So that's what's going on in our life. So we also have with us Burke and Rivka today. How are you, Burke?
I'm doing great. Nice. Not too early Saturday morning here. And I, too, am the single providing parent currently while Rivka visits a friend down in Texas. And, yeah, it's been about a week. And, yeah, I'm enjoying this month of semi-retirement, but it looks like my schedule is back to full-time next month. So.
But now you have no one to blame but yourself, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, and despite his best anxieties about never getting back to that.
You're too good at your job for that to ever be. You're going to be in demand no matter what. So you're going to have to say no if you ever really want to be in semi-retirement.
Yeah,
so
it could be.
That was my dad for years. He would say, I'm going to retire next year. Never, ever did it. And he would say, well, but the hospital still needs me. Like, Dad, they're going to need you forever. You have to decide.
Yeah. Well, like I work 2 days this last week, and I have 1 day next week, and then 4 days the week after that. And then pretty much it's 3 or 4 days a week after that. So,
yeah. Well, still 4 days is sort of semi part-time. That's like dental schedule, but all the extra driving, I suppose.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm working 4 days a week, I can say I cut back to full time, I think.
So. Indeed. Well, Rivka, how has it been snuggling a baby and visiting your friend down in Texas?
It's just been so wonderful.
Good.
It's been so wonderful. The weather's been great. I mean, today it's a little cold for Texas, I guess. The high is like 60 and it's still sunny. So for me, that doesn't feel like cold, but.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. And I just held the baby most of this last week. That's what I've done. And chatted with my best friend and fixed food. Just helping out.
Sounds awesome. I know Burke and I are both jealous. We love holding babies.
Counting a quart of apple juice as we speak.
I know. I've sent him pictures. That probably doesn't help.
Don't you worry. She has sent pictures.
I have no doubt. Awesome. Well, I'm glad we're all doing well, and I'm excited to talk with you today. So I said this is a podcast where we discuss the latest talks of General Conference. Well, that's not actually the case today. So we have finished the October 2023 General Conference. We're looking forward anxiously to General Conference in a little under a month. And in the meantime, we're going to record some other General Conference talks and other talks, devotionals from BYU. Today, we're going to record about Plow in Hope, an all-time great Elder Maxwell talk from April 2001, so 23 years ago. And he talks a lot in this talk about how the world seems to just be overwhelming, and especially the wickedness of the world, and how we can have hope despite that and continue moving forward until we have a brightness of hope. So long ago, we were the Hope Podcast, where we talked about hope all the time. So we're going to have a return to form today. And with that in mind, we'll start with the Hope Master herself. That's Aaliyah, who hopefully has already opened the talk and scrolled down to the fundamental doctrine. So what was your fundamental doctrine today, Aaliyah?
My fundamental doctrine is the wording of it is very Maxwell. This whole talk was just like full of slightly complicated vocab words and things.
Yes.
Anyways.
He was peak Maxwell in this talk. Peak Maxwell.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. So anyways, I'll try and make it understandable. But he says, desperately needed is longitudinal perspective, the hope of the gospel. Today's put down is then placed in the perspective of our being lifted up tomorrow in God's plan of happiness.
Whew, that is much different than your usual succinct.
I know. It's okay, because we're recording a Renlund talk next, and he's very clear and concise. So they balance each other out. But yeah, I just liked this. This is the point that I have been trying to get across for so long. And you asked me, I don't even remember what talk it was, but you asked me about like, it was Think Celestial, about God's fabulous plan and what if it's not fabulous for people. And this is what I was trying to get at, is with the gospel, we have that perspective, and which gives us hope, which means that today's put down, like today's bad times, means that we'll be lifted up in the future.
Awesome. And we have a perspective of that while we're going through the bad times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. To desperately needed is longitudinal perspective, the hope of the gospel. So hope gives us an eternal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Great. I love it. I didn't even highlight that. I highlighted like 80% of the talk and I didn't even highlight that one, but it's so great. So probably what happened is you have to have like maximal concentration reading a Maxwell talk.
Yeah.
I probably had like
out for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Even like 80% concentration is not good enough. So probably just skipped right over it. So thank you for sharing that. All right. Let's go on to Burke. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
All right. He says, the valiant among us keep moving forward anyway, because they know the Lord loves them even when they, quote, do not know the meaning of all things, unquote. And that is from 1 Nephi 11:17. And I don't know if this is the central doctrine, but this resonated with me because it pretty much explains my discipleship.
Mm, tell me more about that.
Well, I just keep moving forward and doing the best I can, even though I feel often like the answers I have are fewer than the questions.
So. Yeah. I think that reminded me much of, and not when I read it, but when you just mentioned it about the talk in 2019 about faith. I forget. Stand Forever. That's what it's called. Corbridge, Elder Corbridge, where he says, you know, there's a few like fundamental doctrines that are deal breakers, like Jesus Christ is our Savior. And once you have those rooted, everything else you can sort of work on over time. And I guess the fact that God loves us and we are his children, as he says here, you know, we continue with that love. That keeps us going. It keeps us pressing forward. Is that your experience, Bert?
Yeah. And that statement is an answer to the statement right before where he says, since the adversary desireth that all men might be miserable like unto himself, his is the plan of misery. Mm. So you have the plan, Satan's plan of misery on one side, and then the valiant moving forward, trusting in God's love.
Oh, I like it. Awesome. Okay, thanks for sharing that. Now let's go on to Rivka. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Well, I think I will pick this one. There were so many good things to share, but I think I will pick this one. He said, the infinite atonement is so vast and universal, but finally it is so personal. Mercifully, through the atonement, we can be forgiven. And very importantly, we can know that we have been forgiven, that final joyous emancipation from error. By utilizing the atonement, we can access the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which filleth with hope and perfect love.
None of us can afford to be without that needed hope and love in the treks through our Sinai's of circumstance. Which, of course, you know, that last sentence is very Maxwell.
It is. So what did that mean to you? Break it down for us.
Well, I just, I think I'm picking that one because of what Burke and Aaliyah shared, and just so that we have that foundation that he's really building all of this hope on is Jesus Christ. That's what our hope has to be in order for it to be real hope that's going to be productive and get us through difficulties. And he has a lot of great statements about that, but just that all that hope, real hope and eternal hope is based in Jesus Christ and happens because of his atoning sacrifice for us.
And a sacrifice that was so, or an atonement that was so vast, mm-hmm. That there is no end, but that was perfectly personal as well. And that you can rely on as an individual.
Yep.
What does this mean to you through our Sinai's of circumstance?
Well, I don't know. Sinai was Moses wrestling, you know, with the Lord and coming to him, right? And seeing him and then learning commandments, trying to share those, getting some more that were easier to share. But it was Sinai to me, I guess, symbolizes just the wrestle with discipleship. Moses and then the Israelites at the base of Sinai had their own wrestle with who they were going to believe in and who they were going to trust and seek help from.
So our circumstances are tutoring us the way that Moses was tutored.
Yeah, we all have that. We all have this experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Well, let's go on and talk about other parts of the talk. So we're going to go back to Aaliyah. So Aaliyah, pick out one of these other amazingly worded quotes here and tell us what it meant to you.
Okay, so he spends a couple of sentences talking about being emptied to make room for other things.
I loved that part.
So he says, as sovereigns, choosing to yield to the highest sovereign is our highest act of choice. It is the only surrender which is also a victory. The putting off of the natural man makes possible the putting on of the whole armor of God, which would not fully fit before. As we on occasion pour out our souls in personal pleadings, we are thus emptied, making room for more joy. So I love all this, these like poetic statements about essentially giving up things to God so we can get other things in return. Sacrificing, you know, the instincts of the natural man and sacrificing our time and energy in our prayers and things like that to, in return, gain the armor of God and more joy and victory.
Awesome. It seems like emptying yourself or pouring out your soul in personal pleadings, as he says, might not be so joyful. I mean, often that's because we're suffering. So how does that make room for joy?
Well, we have to trust that whatever God has for us is going to lead to that joy. And so essentially we just say, I'm going to empty myself out and hope that you fill it with something good. And because God is awesome, he always does.
Okay, I love that. I think he's also implying here the step that as we're pouring out our heart in pleading, we're also pouring out our will to him, sort of combining those two things, the two parts of the quote. Just telling God you're suffering is one step, but then allowing him, or, you know, pouring out your soul and allowing him to surrendering your agent, not your agency. I cannot phrase it like him. I mean, choosing to yield to the highest sovereign is the highest act of choice. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
We're giving ourselves over to him. So
doing what God wants you to do.
There you go. Simple and clear. Aaliyah is Nephi here, the plain and precious. I like it. So awesome. Okay, let's go on to Burke. So Burke, please share with us another quote from this talk.
All right. Well, I would like to balance out Aaliyah's joyful hope. He says, since the Lord wants a people tried in all things, how specifically will we be tried? He tells us, I will try the faith and patience of my people. Since faith in the timing of the Lord may be tried, let us learn to say not only thy will be done, but patiently also thy timing be done.
Yes. Tell us more about that.
I just, you know, how specifically will we be tried? I can tell you from my own life, it's very specific. We will specifically be tried in all the ways that are most hard for us, is how Indeed. I feel about it.
Yeah,
but still less than Christ.
Right. But what a great word, right? Specific. How specifically will we be tried? Wow. The exact way we need to be, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, Burke, so I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I think it's worth repeating sometimes. How have you found that in your life you've been tried in terms of patience and timing? So he says, not only thy will be done, but also thy timing be done. So can you share anything from your life where you've had to wait on the Lord's timing?
I feel like I'm always waiting on the Lord's timing. I hate waiting. Like, I don't know. What in life have I not had to wait for, you know, or work for? When has the blessing ever come right when I wanted it? Probably those are the times I forget, right? Bias being how that is. Like the easy stuff, you forget about it. It came easy. But yeah, I mean, from the time I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease until I achieved clinical remission was right about 20 years.
Yeah.
It was a pretty long 20 years.
Indeed, it was. Yeah, and it reminds me of the talk we just read about you want to be happy, make and keep covenants, you know, about the wife praying for an answer about her husband being called as bishop, and she didn't get the answer for 6 years until after he was released. Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, back in my single days, I dated a lot and prayed a lot and really tried to meet the person I could spend, you know, the rest of my life in eternity with. And even though I married at what is probably culturally a young age, almost 26, everyone I knew was married by that point, and my last two good friends at school married each other. So yeah, that one seemed like a long one too, to me.
Right. But Rivka was worth the wait.
Absolutely.
It was but a small moment in the eternities, right?
So even now it seems like, oh, it couldn't have been that bad.
But in the moment it feels that bad.
Long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thy timing be done. That is a new refrain for us to keep in our hearts. And speaking of Rivka, let's move on to her. So Rivka, you were worth the wait for Burke. That is for sure.
Jury's still out.
But what else do you have to share with us from this talk?
Well, I do have something, but I wanted to add just one thing to this discussion about timing.
Please.
Because sometimes the timing works the other way. So for example, my grandfather, my grandparents, my mom's parents he had retired and they had put in mission papers and they were called to serve a mission in Nauvoo. And then within about a week of that call, my grandfather very unexpectedly and suddenly passed away. And it felt like, what? You know, like it was a surprise. We grieved, but I think that can happen too. Sometimes we don't want the Lord's timing to happen when it's happening. You know, often with grief and stuff, but sometimes we question the timing because not because we're waiting for it, but because it came sooner than we thought or had hoped. So anyway,
a good insight,
just another facet of the Lord's timing that we often don't understand. Okay. But the thing I was going to share is, oh man, again, there's so many.
So many.
Oh, okay. This one. Those who plow in hope not only understand the law of the harvest, but they also understand what growing seasons are all about. True, those with genuine hope may see their proximate circumstances shaken like a kaleidoscope at times. Which I love that I love that because I think we've all felt that, like, things happen that just kind of rock our world,
mm-hmm.
you know? So those with genuine hope may see their proximate circumstances shaken like a kaleidoscope at times, yet with the eye of faith, they still see divine design. And that is, I don't know, for me, that feels like something I want to become more perfect in, the ability to do that. When things aren't working out the way I think they should, or when, you know, plans suddenly change or griefs come in or challenges are given, to be able to look at what feels like things falling apart and see within that the divine design that is there.
So I love that visual, Rivka. So something happens that shakes up your life, and sometimes it feels like it's hard to see clearly, right? You've got this sort of crazy kaleidoscope effect, but that center image, if you have hope in Christ and you have an eye of faith, you can, even if you can't see it, you can trust that one day you will see it, and thy timing be done, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think too, I mean, for anyone who's looked through a kaleidoscope, you know, you twist it, things get shaken up, but it's still beautiful. Every time you twist it, there's some new beautiful design. And I think maybe that's what he's trying to say, is that just because things get shaken up, and it's not maybe we really liked the design that was just there and now there's a new one, recognizing that that also is a divine design.
Awesome. I love it. It seems like the overarching message of this whole talk is that through the Savior, we can have hope, which will sustain us during hard times. But man, does he ever say it in the most different, poetic, sometimes hard to understand ways. He just is such a unique speaker. So well, I want to share a quote here that nobody has grabbed yet, and partly because it is a little more straightforward, but also because it was sort of prophetic here. So he says, yes, we have unprecedented mass entertainment and mass communications, but so many lonely crowds.
Yeah.
The togetherness of technology is no substitute for the family. Wow. Has this only gotten worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I take a few meanings from that. So one is, I know there are lots of nights where we try to do scriptures as a family, or even family dinner, or even just like being together. And it is rough to get everyone off their phones. It is just a challenge. And sometimes the angry feelings that some people have about being forced off their phones really makes it hard to have the Spirit. So it can be rough. One, since I'm a concrete thinker and practical person, one thing we've been trying to do lately is when we do family scriptures, we now screencast or screen mirror one phone up onto a TV, and everyone else has to put their phones away, not accessible. That way, when you're looking at your scriptures, you're not tempted to also look at, you know, Twitter or whatever else. But I think from a more broad, like a broader societal standpoint, we have all these lonely people, and they have nowhere to go for togetherness, and including the family, you know, which has obviously taken lots of hits over time, and disintegrated in many ways. But also church families or school families, you know, you had no choice but to interact with other people when we were kids, at least three of us when we were kids. But now it's easy to completely wall yourself off from other people, ironically, by looking at social media while having your headphones on, right? So you have false togetherness, that it's like the deer who dies with hay in their stomach, right? It provides no actual sustenance or meaningful relationships. So just how prophetic was that? And I assume that it's only going to get worse over time. So, Aaliyah, as our younger representative here, how have you fostered togetherness in your life or relationships in this sort of a world of isolation that digital media has provided for us?
I think honestly the church, the structure of the church has been a huge help. Everywhere I go, as long as I go to church, I have a guaranteed community. And most people aren't on their phones during church, like to prohibit at least some social interaction. So my current friend group, being out here where I knew no one coming in, is all members of the church. And so we all see each other every Sunday. And that's just where I have found my family, I guess, just because of the structure of the church being the way it is. So,
yeah. Awesome. Yeah, obviously we moved last year and it's the same thing. We found fast friends here and developed connections right away. And that has been a major blessing in our lives. So, okay, well, guess what? There are 10 million other quotes that could be shared from this talk. But we're already at the end of our time here. So what I would, I know, right?
Don't. There's so many more.
There's so many more. How about this? For the sake of time, let's each pick one more, but not break it down or discuss it. Just read those beautiful words of Maxwell, and then we'll move on.
Okay, I'm so ready.
Okay.
Just one?
Just one, I know.
Are we still going to do invitations or not?
Yes, we'll do invitations at the end. Okay. All right, Aaliyah, hit us with one beautiful quote.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, given what Jesus died for, are we willing to live with the challenges allotted to us?
Ooh, I love it.
No, read the next sentence.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Trembling is sometimes both permissible and understandable.
That's Maxwellian style comfort if I've ever heard it.
Yeah.
And also index
and then comfort.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, Burke, how about you?
Enduring and submitting are not passive responses at all, but instead are actually more like being braced sufficiently to report for advanced duties while carrying meekly and victoriously bruises from the previous phrase.
Amen. I love that quote. Hold that was one fast. Of my favorites. Awesome. Hold fast, right? He actually says that just before that, right? He says, "Thus, disciples, stand fast," I guess is what he says. Hold out faithful to the end and hold on their way, even in a troubled world. Okay, Rivka, hit us with one.
Given the fierceness Christ endured for us, we cannot expect a discipleship of unruffled easiness. As we seek forgiveness, for example, repentance can be a rough-hewn regimen to bear. By the way, let us not, as some do, mistake the chips we have placed on our own shoulders for crosses.
Whew.
I regularly pray for unruffled easiness. Those are the words I use. Yeah.
How often do you get that prayer answered?
Not yet.
In the way that you want it to be.
I just have this vision of Burke like on his knees. Please grant me unruffled easiness. Okay. Here's my parting quote, and then we'll move on to invitations. Yet too many of the partially committed, like Naaman, wait for the Lord to bid them to do some great thing while declining his bidding in the small things. When he was humbled and corrected, not only did Naaman's flesh become like that of a little child, but his heart also. Failure to serve the master in small ways estranges us from him. So good. All right, please, everyone, go read this talk. We could have just read the talk from start to finish. Every single paragraph is an amazing quote. So
yeah.
Let's do invitations and promises. Aaliyah, let's start with you.
Okay. there's a really long one at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll read it.
It's sort of a summary of his whole talk.
It is.
Really. Yeah. He summarizes and lists a bunch of things. So he says...
Liz.
What?
Oh, anyways, I love you guys have all adopted that song.
That wasn't us. That was the angels.
That's right.
Okay. Thus, within the discipleship allotted to us, we are to overcome the world, to finish the work we've personally been given to do, to be able to partake of a bitter cup without becoming bitter, to experience pouring out our souls, to let our wills increasingly be swallowed up in the will of the Father, to acknowledge, tough through the tutoring trials, that indeed all of these things shall give the experience and shall be for thy good, and to plow enduringly to the end of the furrow, all the while glorifying him and using the matchless gifts he has given us, including one day, and this is the promise, all that he has.
Mm. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So that was very long, but anything specifically stand out to you, Aaliyah?
Nope. Just keep swimming and we'll get all that the Father has.
I love it. So good. Burke, how about you? Did you have a different invitation?
Yeah, let me see. Where did it go?
I honestly read the whole thing and didn't think of invitations till the end. And then I thought, I bet there's 100 invitations in here that I just missed.
So many invitations. Ah, here we go. It is not too late either for some to become pioneer disciples in their families and locations, or for individuals to become local peacemakers in a world from which peace has been taken. If still others experience a shortage of exemplars, they can become such.
Okay. Tell us, what does that mean?
He's inviting us. So like, if you look at the world around you and there's no good people, well, that is your invitation to become the good person.
Yeah. I love it. I love how he doesn't say, you know, we can all be pioneers just like the pioneers if there are people around us who aren't members of the church. He says, you know, pioneer disciples. And those two words just really encapsulate the whole thing. It's so much density to his talk. So be the change that you want to see in the world, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, Rivka, what's next? Invitations.
Oh, okay. Well, the one I was thinking about doing is right after what Burke read. He said, "While Joshua was able to say, 'But as for me and my house,' some individuals presently bereft of intact families nevertheless can still say, 'But as for me,' and then so live as to become worthy of all the Lord has prepared for them." And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking about, I think he probably was referring to families that are not intact because of divorce or death or things like that, where it doesn't look like what we can have considered a traditional family. But I think that can also, this also applies for people whose families are not spiritually intact. Mm. You know, if you're one of a few in your family who is still holding to the iron rod, that's okay. You can just say, "But as for me, this is what I'm going to do." And then hope, in this sort of hope, that your family will become intact again through the atonement of Jesus Christ, and that you will be able to receive all the blessings that he has promised to the righteous.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of this talk. So good. So much to read and ponder and study. And the next talk we're going to discuss is a BYU devotional given by Elder Renland, called Stronger and Closer Connection to God Through Multiple Covenants. So if you just Google Renland BYU Multiple Covenants, I'm sure you'll come up with it. And there's a great video. You should definitely watch the video, not just listen to the audio, because he has a PowerPoint with it, which is sort of unique for what we normally
do. And an object lesson.
Object lesson, I know.
And, yes. And the object lesson is well described, but it is more... Yeah. It's more impactful. Yeah, it's fun to watch. So, okay. So in the meantime, you can get a hold of us. How?
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us or comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
Thank you, Aaliyah. And just a side note, we got a wonderful, beautiful email from our friend Steve in the UK, who is currently definitely plowing in hope. And we loved hearing from you and reading your words, and we all read it. I forwarded it to everybody. And so we just wanted to let you know that we're praying for you, and keep the faith there, friend Steve. So, and that goes for all of you. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.